Is Chase on here too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is right there.
Yeah.
This technology is too crazy for me, man. Look at this stuff.
Yeah.
Good things, dude.
Very good. Very good. I'm enjoying every bit of it.
So give me a baseball in college during a COVID crisis, man. What is it like?
So day in the life of a college athlete, yeah. So when we first got here, it was kind of more strict in the beginning of things. Kind of started a little late, started with individual work, just little groups, getting tested once a week or like once every 2 weeks. And just doing some individual work, just pens twice a week. And then other than that, that was your work. But then in October, everything was getting raised. And now we moved to testing at 2 times a week, Monday and Thursdays, and just normal practice. So, and if you stay healthy, you get to go on the field. And if you test positive, then kind of sucks for your roommates too, because they get quarantined with you, because you're exposed to it. So, but other than that, I mean, it's just been good. Just testing 2 times a week, and then it's been pretty normal on the field. So
cool, man. How are you liking Arizona?
Loving it. Everything about it. To the guys, like I it's just like crazy how it's already November. I was like thinking that it's like, oh man, it's November. The experience that I'm having is so good. Even with the coronavirus, everything's been fun. Love the guys, great teammates, great set of guys that I have working with. And I think, and a great set of coaches. Love every coach. They're engaged in everything, wanting to get people better. And it's just been so fun. So I think the experience has been so great. It's like, wow, it's already November. So it's been awesome.
A lot of people see you in the U of A hat, man, and they see you now where you're at. But let me let's get back to how you even got to that stage. So just talk about, man, some of the biggest influences growing up in Farmington, what it was like playing baseball in this town, the group of kids you grew up with, and just what was an early influence in your life, you know, at the beginning. You know, go back to the beginning and talk about, you know, just the passion and where it started from, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's awesome to have an older brother to kind of look up to. And then with his set of friends that played the game, they played it at a high level. And it's like, so just like that, setting the example for me was awesome. Just being able to have him to talk to about the game, watch him play when he grew up. And growing up just made me want to be like him and be like the group of friends that he had around him, with like Jake, who he played with, Jake McCaslin, Don Moreno, Colton, JC, Shane Woodson, Shiloh, everyone. Is just awesome to see. And I think for me, I kind of wanted to duplicate that and follow in my brother's footsteps, and then, you know, have a great group of guys to kind of do what they did. So I think my group of friends had that to look up to like, let's be like them. It was such a great example with the people above us. They're setting the bar, and we wanted to meet that bar and maybe push the bar higher. So that's where all the passion was. It started with my brother and his friends, and that's where it all came. And now it just pushed me. He ended up playing Division I baseball, and I wanted to follow that. And now look, I'm doing that. It's awesome. It's just awesome.
Yeah, that group above you was they were special, man. And they just had the right mentality, you know, and then they were just a special bunch of kids. And even like Grant and Dalen, even when I got Dalen on here and those kids, they always talk about that group of kids that they looked up to all the time, man. They were just a heavy influence on you guys.
Yeah,
big. And I mean, when we were playing at our level, when we were juniors and seniors, we wanted to do that with the younger kids, you know, to kind of fill in their shoes, to kind of have younger kids to look up to us, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about. You get followers, you want to follow somebody above you, and then you need to set that example of the leadership to for the younger kids, especially in our town. Not much. It's definitely a big baseball town, and you just wanted to, you know, and it doesn't get enough exposure. What I think, we have a lot of great players in Farmington, still just doesn't get enough exposure. And just with the community going together like that, then it becomes it greater, like the Connie Mack World Series, and you have the community coming together, you know. That community is what holds that community of baseball is what holds Farmington at a high value. And they set a good example. We wanted to set a good example. Hopefully we did set a good example for younger kids. And I hope like everything there is just going still great. We put something to look forward to in those younger kids' eyes.
Yeah, I got the two little rugrats running around in here today, man. They're running back and forth in the scene. But it's crazy because now all the kids that grew up in here, man, have just influenced those guys, man. Just to see Scans and Damien with my little dude, like here he comes flying past me right here. But it's a family here, man. It really is. It's a really tight-knit family. It's a tight-knit community. Baseball is part of it, you know, but, you know, I don't – It's the people here, man. Like, we've just grown up with some good people here. And I've just had the pleasure to know, like, you know, Cody and those guys, and then see you guys come through. And we're still awesome to see what you guys are doing today, you know. And it's good to hear just, you know, that, because a lot of kids, they're missing that right now, man. They didn't get to do what you guys are doing. Like, the seniors this year around here are looking that they're not even going to step foot in a classroom, you know. Yeah.
Tough. It's tough times, you know. Yep. Very tough times.
And yeah, I think the page of Farmington's definitely flipped from a baseball community to more of like just one big family. And I think our group kind of created a little bit of that. Like, we definitely looked up to, and this is from my perspective of looking up to Jake and Shiloh and Dom and them, and like wanting to be like them on the field. And then once we started working out with them, it changed to like, we just want to be better men like them. Like it kind of exceeded the whole baseball thing. I know it's super cool to see Chase, you know, at U of A doing his thing, but I think just the shift of it's life, like we're doing life together with all those guys. Like, we're basically like those dudes' little brothers. So I think that's also something that needs to be added into that.
Yeah, I mean, I worked out with D and Shiloh this week. Yeah. I mean, one's a firefighter right now, one's a sheriff, and it's still like the same mentality as it was back then. But it is, man. Like, we always think it is the game. It's never the game, man. The game's a part of our life, but it never is life, you know. And sometimes you lose that, especially being a young kid coming up. You kind of get your whole life based around the game. You know, and that's what you base everything off. And it's not how it is, man. You be a good person first. You work your butt off, do the best you can every day. And then the game, you have that outreach in the game. You can really enjoy it for what it is.
I can agree with that one. You know, people do get lost. Like, this is the game, and, you know, it's all about the game. Yeah. I think even to be good at the game, you have to be a good person in life too. You got to do good everything off the field to, I think, even be a great player on the field. So, like, kind of looking at this thing, to be a great athlete, you have to be a great person off the field with your habits, actions. And that's, I think that's where some people get lost at. Like, I kind of was learning that this year with my pitching coach that I've got to work with, Nate Yeske, Coach Yeske. And he's been kind of going through that, and he's been, just the words of wisdom that comes out of his mouth, I just couldn't be grateful to be working with him. And that's what I've kind of learned, that it's not all about the game, because at some point this game is going to have an expiration date. And what are you going to do after that? So you got to have control off the field and be as good as you can off the field. And then that'll translate into good onto the field. And then when that expiration date hits, then you got everything figured out with life. So
it's like, I told this to Dalen, man. Like, the best advice I can give young kids, because I didn't understand it when I was coming through, is that all it comes down to is just wake up every day and give your best to yourself. If God blessed you with the talent to throw 98 miles an hour and play Division I baseball and have a chance to go professional, then every day you wake up, give everything to those talents. Because I didn't. And that's what you live with later. You're like, man, what if, you know, what if I did do that a little bit better? I did do that. And that's what you live with later. But I didn't understand it because I based my whole life off the game. Like, you can ask my wife, my happiness was off, did I hit that day? And that's not a good way to live, man. That is like a, you get pretty psychotic that way. I don't know how many dry hacks I took in a hotel looking in a mirror about my swing when it was just, it was everything. It was too much pressure. And now I understand the game is just a part of you, man. It's just a part of you. That's it. And if you give your best every day, you can go do things that you never dreamed of, man. There truly are no limits. We limit ourselves by our thinking, you know, and it's just like we hurt ourselves. And you're the perfect example, because I wanted to talk about this today, is because even we talked about this last time you were in the gym in Farmington. And it's like, last time when we were working out in here, that's when I knew there was a switch, is because you always have had the chance to come down and work out here, you know? And early on, you always had the talent, but being an ex-pro guy, I just looked for certain qualities. And it's like, you reached out to me last time you were here, and you're like, and then you came down, and then we just flat got it on like nothing else. And then that's when I knew you had matured. And the funny thing was, the only way you get that maturity is from the experience, you know? And that's when we were talking in the gym and we said, you go, man, I got way better at Southern Nevada than what I did at Tennessee. And I said, wait a second, do you get as good at Southern Nevada if you don't go to Tennessee? And the look on your face was priceless, because you're like, you're right, man. I had to go experience failure, be on my own, get my butt kicked, make some decisions, go somewhere else and go on this journey. And now you sit here today as a kid that wants it. You're more mature. You understand that fact. Grant could agree with me here. If you go back like 3 years, there's been a major switch. And since you left Farmington last time, man, this is what I told everyone. It's like, Chase has a chance, man. He has a chance. He found what you need to be successful at a high level. But the only way you get that is through failure.
It's because failure shouldn't be something that defines you. It should be something that refines you. You go through failure, you got to get back up. You take a punch, you get back up, and you have to stay in the fight. That's what life is. That's what, if you're going to be in the sport is that you really want, you're going to go through failure in any sport you play. And through life, but it's whether if you can get back up and let that redefine you into making you a better person. And I mean, I couldn't be more grateful than where I'm at today with what I've gone through going to Tennessee, not what I was looking for, kind of went through some things, then went to Southern Nevada. And it's just the learning experiences that I've gone through just has kind of shaped me. And it's shaped who I want to be, because now I know what I have to do. And it's not just all on skill. Skill is going to go take you so much way. And just learn that you have to put in work to get something out of it. And it's definitely based on experience. I got to say, because I've had a question even asked to me, would you have gone to Tennessee still your freshman year if you knew what you were going to get at College of Southern Nevada? And I say, yeah, I'd go to Tennessee again, because you just have to go through those.
And you can't compare it later, man. You can't compare it after the fact.
Yeah.
You don't get to one without going through the other. And that's the one thing I told you that one day, is you can't compare your journey to anyone else, because everyone else wants to throw their 2 cents in from the sideline and say, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that, you should have done this. And it's like, well, you never walked a day in my shoes, so you can't say nothing from the sidelines. But everyone wants to tell you how it is. The only way you know is when you go through the fire yourself. That's it. And that's why you can't compare yourself to say, oh, well, you shouldn't have went to Tennessee. That's just part of the journey, man. I remember getting released a couple times, going up and down levels. It's like, man, that's just part of the game. You know, and like you just said, this is one of the best things I ever learned, is like, what is going to separate you when everyone else is good?
Yeah.
Like, everyone throws 95 to 100 today. So what's going to make you different to that guy? And it's the stuff away from the field. Like, everyone goes in the weight room and lifts, but not everyone eats well away from the field and gets 8 hours of sleep and, you know, takes care of their body. Like, there's the little details when everyone's good that separate you. And that's what you had to learn. If you're going to compete at that high level, that's only from learning from going through it. So it's just, that's how it is, man. You have to learn through that experience, you know? And that's what you learn when you came in and worked out the last time with me. That's what I'm looking, because you were attacking. You weren't sitting there saying, oh, I just don't know. It's like, no, you had your ass kicked a little bit and like, man, I got to be tougher here. And that's when I'm like, okay, he has a chance, because that's what you need when you're against all other alpha males. It's the tiny little details that separate you from the guy next to you. And that's what you're going to see as you start going, you know, to where you're at now. And then you start going up the levels and see that, man. It's the little tiny details that separate the best.
It really is. It. And then I say, I've kind of lived by it too. If you kind of settle and you think you have something down, it's going to end up humbling you in one way, shape, or form. And you always have to keep improving yourself and be the best version of yourself every day. And if you, right when you think you have, like, okay, I got this figured out, but I don't need to do this anymore, you're just going to, it's going to humble you in some way, shape, or form. So I kind of want to live by, you know, just looking in the mirror and the guy, is this guy being, am I being the full self and the full capability of being the best who I can be? And that's what I have. I have goals written down on my walls, saying, you know, what I need. And I look at those things, and by the end of the day, I want to look at myself. I want to look every time I wake up in the morning, I want to look at myself in the mirror and say, let's not be average today. And at the end of the day, I want to come back and look at the thing before I go to bed, look to myself, look that guy in the mirror and say, did I do everything in my possibility to be the best version of myself that day? And
the only way you get that is by facing it, dude.
Yeah.
But no one wants to face it these days, man. No one wants to look back over the day and say, you know what? I was a lazy piece of crap today. Nah, let me throw up an Instagram picture that makes me look like I'm working out. Oh, man, I'm good now. Yeah. I'm good. That doesn't work that way, man. If you go against the best every single day, you're going to fail every single day. And that's okay. That's okay. If you're in the weight room, go up to the strongest kid in the weight room, find him, and put yourself right next to him. That's it. Find those guys that are better than you, that make you feel uncomfortable. You know, those people that tell you how great you are all the time, man, that can be our biggest downfall in life ever. I remember that in high school, you know, and people would always tell you how great you were, what you were accomplishing, this and that. And then I went to spring training the first time, and I walk in that locker room, and there's 160 dudes there that are all better than me, and not one guy looks sideways. And they give you a uniform, and they're like, what are you going to do now? No one cares, dude. But at home, everyone's telling me how great I was. You're this, this, this. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And then it was like smack in the face, back to reality.
You only have a certain group that will actually care. Your parents. Yeah, some people from your hometown. Maybe a girlfriend that you have cares at that moment. You only have a certain amount of people that cares, and in probably the whole world, that's a good probably 1% who actually care. But no one else cares if you fail. No one else.
Yep. That's the truth, man. That's the truth. And there's always going to be that throughout your life. The people that are real with you, the people that you take their opinion in. But most of the time, people like knowing the pro baseball player. People like knowing the D1 baseball player. You go to high school, it's pretty fun being a D1 pitcher signee. And when you go into high school, all the girls love you. You walk around school, everyone loves you. You're up on that pedestal, you know. But then you have to go out and realize, like, man, I ain't really nothing. You got to get your butt whipped and get back in the fire, you know. And that's when you find out. It's when you go through that fire and you get broken back down, and then you build yourself up. And now you can tell with you, for me, it's just maturity. Like, you don't run from the fact that you went to Tennessee and it was just that part of your journey. you know, and you just like, I went there, it made me who I am today, and now I'm ready, you know. And that's a big thing in maturity, because most people, they want to run from that thing. They want to run from Tennessee, or they want to run from that failure because they're afraid of what others are going to think about them. Who gives a crap what anyone else thinks about? It's your journey. This is what God's taken you on, man. And we all have these pieces of, I call it garbage inside of us that we all have to go through. And we have to find ourselves through the garbage and then get to the other side, man. It was the whole thing when I did that 240 run. That was the whole concept of it. You dealt with all this crap, and then you get to the other side and you're a stronger version of yourself. And it was just that over and over. But most people just want to judge from the sidelines. They've never walked a day in someone's shoes, but they want to tell you how to live your life. And it's like, why do people even care what anyone else thinks? But that's just how our society is, man. That's how we are today. We're all based off likes on Facebook. Does this person like us? We base our decisions off that. And it just hurts us as people, man.
Yes. I couldn't agree more.
Let's talk about this, man, because I love when people do things for the first time. All right. So talk about playing for the Redskins and winning the Connie Mack World Series, plus just going that direction, man. Like, no one had ever done it before. You know, and it's just like we've been talking about. Everyone can bark from the sidelines and say what you should have done, could have, whatever. That's not your story. I want to know, like, you did it for the first time. No one else had done it. You actually repeated it for a couple years. And just talk about that experience, man. I mean, it's just cool to see. It was the first time it's ever done. I want to hear about it, man. What it was like.
Yeah. So my experience all started when I was 4 years old. We started hosting for the first time, and we hosted the Midland Redskins. And, you know, as being a family, you get invited to all the, as a host family, all like the barbecues that the team has, the games. So you see the coaches, and at that, my dad, you know, talked to the coaches, and after that gained a really good friendship. And every year they'd come, you know, they'd talk, he'd go to the hotel, invite him to the hotel and everything. And they just talk, and every year. And then I finally asked, can I be the bat boy for you guys every time you come up? And they said yes. So, and ever since I started being the bat boy for them, just being in the dugout with those guys and actually meeting the legendary Papa Joe Hayden, just sitting next to that guy and learning what he'd always had to see, and like being in the dugout with Eric Hosmer, Matt Harvey, Cameron Maben, all those guys, all the guys who've got to play. And there's a lot more out there. And then sitting next to Papa Joe one day and saying, when I was a little older, saying, one day you're going to play for me if you work hard. One day you'll get to play for me. And so, you know, I was young at that point. So I was like, okay, yeah, it's really cool, you know. And then finally, I got to be a bullpen catcher for him. It translated because I got kind of old for the bat boy biz, I think, a little bit. And then they asked me to be a bullpen catcher. So I was in there bullpen catching 97, catching it very good. And those bullpen guys with movement and everything, these guys that are going to major Division I colleges. And the next year, you know, my sophomore year of high school, I get a call saying, hey, do you want to come be on the 16-year-old to be a catcher? And, you know, I did a lot of thinking. After a lot of thinking, you're like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna take this experience up. So I took it. Ended up being there, playing on the 16-year-old team, played a whole summer, ended up translating to a catcher to a pitcher there, and pitched very good that summer.
You're good.
Pitched very good that summer, and, you know, came back, had a great junior year, and then I got a call, said, hey, do you want to come play for the 17-year-old team? like, took a lot of thinking, like, do I want to leave again? Like, it's not playing for the Redskins yet. Do I want to, like, leave for a whole summer, kind of miss out on the hometown kind of stuff? Then I decided to go, pitched one game for the 17-year-old team up there, and I got the call up. I was on the Redskins, and it was just unbelievable. I was stunned, shocked, and I'm like, I'm playing for the Midland Redskins, the team that I've fat boyed and got to know. It kind of sucked. It wasn't with Papa Joe. He passed away a couple years back when I got to play for him. So that was really sad. I didn't get to play for Papa Joe, but I was on the team, and I still had to work hard because that was the first time I was surrounded by people throwing 95, 97, 94 as a junior in high school. So, and I'm young for my class. So I was on the 18-year-old team as a 16-year-old. And a 16-year-old in baseball years. So it was just, I had to work hard. It was just stunning. And I pitched great summer. Got to pitch against the East Cobb Yankees in Georgia. And, you know, I had a good couple first starts, got banged around a little bit. But then I got the start against East Cobb. Just kept working. East Cobb Yankees in Georgia. And then pitched phenomenal. We ended up losing 2-1 on an error. But it was a phenomenal experience. And then that's when they knew, like, okay, this kid who's coming up as a 16-year-old is ready to doesn't need to get sent down. So then I end up pitching. We qualified for the Connie Mack World Series, sorry. And I came, and it was just when I stepped off the bus, the travel day, I was just so anxious coming home. Like, I'm coming home to play in the Connie Mack World Series with another team. How are people going to respond? Am I going to be cheered for? Am I going to be kind of hated for going across? Because, you know, it's all about Farmington as a community, and they want to put up the best team against all these other great teams, especially. So I was just anxious. I was excited. I was nervous, everything. And then the minute I stepped off the bus, Coach Evans told me, Coach E said, when we first pull up to the Farming Civic Center, he's like, Chase, you're going to be the first one to get off this bus. And I was like, oh, all right. You know, I was all for it. Everyone in the bus knew I was from this hometown. This knew what it meant to me. Because they knew my story when I came. They all asked, and it was told. And they got up, cheered for me. Being a 16-year-old in baseball – in that with a bunch of 18-year-olds committed to Division I, just them knowing that they have my back, and it's just crazy. And they cheered. I stepped off that bus, and I just knew, it was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just here to have fun. I'm here playing for an organization that I always dreamt of playing with, especially when Papa Joe said I'm going to be playing for them one day and all that, you know. Walked up. Played, ended up winning the Connie Mack World Series. We went undefeated the whole time, got to pitch in the semifinal game against Danville Hoots. And let me tell you, when I walked up on that, I couldn't control emotions. I couldn't control. It was, you know, because not knowing if some fans were going to be on my side or off my side, you never know with, you know, just, but it was just, it was awesome. Pitched against them. We ended up winning 2-1. And then we ended up winning. And now, then the next year got the call back, said, hey, you going to join us again? And I like took a while to think, do I want to go? And I'm like, yeah, of course. It's a great, great experience to live. Ended up doing it 2 more years, and we ended up going 3-peats. And the last one I got to pitch in the championship game, and that was another dream. But I mean, that was my story. If no one liked it, they didn't like it, but like you said, we talk about who they're not walking my shoes. So who are they to tell me like I made a wrong decision or like you've already been up there. Why don't you stay home and play another game, play with us 1 year? It's just, they were my family since I was 4 years old too. And it was a dream. So it was.
Well, and they got it. It's just a cool story, man. But I mean, for amateur baseball at the Connie Mack World Series, the Midland Redskins are like the Yankees. I mean, that's why we always wanted to try to beat them and stuff. But I'll just be straight up honest, man. The era of baseball at that time was different. There was a different look. It was just a different time. There was different stuff going on. The game kind of evolved to different directions. It wasn't the same way when your brother came through and stuff like that. Different things had happened and gone off, and it was just a different time, man, you know? And that's why I'm like, I'm with you, dude. You got to have balls to do things for the first time, because everyone's going to judge, man. Everyone's going to throw it from the sidelines and tell you what you should have done. I just wanted to hear your perspective on it, man, because now that you hear it, it's like, this is a kid that had a dream. It's cool that Papa Joe said that too, and it's crazy how that comes to manifest into reality, that you're throwing in the Connie Mack World Series for the Redskins. You know, so many things have to happen for that to be there. But when you're a bat boy and he said that to you, that ended up becoming reality. Like, that's crazy, man. That is a crazy thing just to even think about. And then plus goes 3 championships 3 years in a row.
And yeah, that to cap it off like that, that was just unbelievable. It was, there's only been a couple 3-year dudes who actually got the three-peats in. So that program had, they rarely have 3-year dudes. And that's what they told me to come back my last, like when I, after Tennessee, cause I was young enough to go back and play. The guy told me, like, do you want to be a 3-year legacy here and have a chance to win a third one? And I just, you know what? Yeah, it was really important to me. I enjoyed every minute. And
it's probably never going to be done again, dude. I mean, I don't see that happening in the next like 20 years, a kid that three-peats in the World Series, especially playing for the Redskins as a local kid. I mean, I think that's going to stand the test of time, dude. Like, that's something that you can always look back on and say, man, you know, it's one thing that no one else would have ever done. I mean, it's just something that's going to stand the test of time, I think. I mean, I've been in it a long time, man, and I don't see, and I just know how hard it is to like even win at that level, but to roll off 3 in a row as the local kid playing for the Redskins, I mean, I don't think that will ever be touched ever again.
And I mean, I'm grateful for it. I mean, I hope someone else gets the opportunity to do it. I'm not sitting, because I mean, I heard, like, I've been told, like, you know, I was just going to Midland just to kind of get the fame, be the fame. But no, I did it. I did it for my dream, my passion. I did it for me to go and experience something, not to go take everything and be just, you know, World Series champ or just be playing for the Midland Redskins. I did it for me, an experience of a dream that someone who I highly looked up to, Papa Joe, saying I was going to play for him one day, and getting the call was awesome. And, but yeah, I hope there's another opportunity for someone out there to get that. But
I love those guys at Midland too, man. Those guys are freaking awesome, guys. Dude. Bart great and guys. Those guys, they've just become great friends over the years, man. And they are just first-class acts, dude. And I tell you what, every time that I've coached against them, they have walked me off at least 4 or 5 times, you know, because we were always the local kids trying to beat that. And I always tell them, like, as the local team, you just have to be perfect one night. Like, if you can roll it off for one night, you have a chance to beat them. But you have to have everything on point for that one day. And we've been so close, dude, but they always walked us off, man. And I always laugh because they always would walk through and we're good friends together, but they'll be like, man, you got a great team. You know, you got a great team. And it would always piss me off, not in a bad way, just in a competitive way. Cause I was like,
yeah,
being close, but I never got to say that on the other end. One day I just wanted to be like, man, you got a great team, dude, but we got you for once. But it never, it never came to a pass, man. And every time I just smiled because we've had so many good battles and they're such great friends. So it's just cool to talk about those guys, man. And they're a big part of this community, dude. Out of any other Connie Mack World Series team, they really have a stronghold in this community with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy. I think when you guys going up, you know, I was being at a young age at that time when you were close to beating them, walking them off. That was the time. I remember the one night you guys had them. You guys had them. And then it was like a 2-2 game or something like that. And you had them, and I would say personally by playing with the Redskins that most of the good games that they played, even that when we played, like we didn't get to play you like with that caliber of team, you know, but I'd say most of the battles that we had was against that team has had is against the host team.
Yeah, man. It's there's been some great games, team. Dude.
And then you see they're blowing teams out of the water, then they play the host team, and then it's a close game.
Yeah.
It's such a close game. And like you said, it just everyone wants to – they're the Yankees. We got to be – let's get them. Let's freaking get them.
Yeah, when it comes to amateur baseball, man, that's just that team. That's that aura. I mean, that's what you want to do. That's why you play it. That's what you want. You know, but when it comes to AABC, Connie Mack World Series, I mean, no one's bigger than the Midland Redskins. So, but that's cool to hear your perspective, man. I always wanted to hear your perspective on it. We never really sat down and talked about it, but it's cool to hear because I always, like I said, I love things being done the first time. It was different. It was outside the box. But it's cool to hear your perspective that was your dream as a kid, man. And then it comes to pass. And I think the greatest thing I take out of talking to you today, man, is that no matter what your dream is, if you believe it, you're going to face people that are going to tell you everything not to make it happen. Like, don't do that. It's going to be this way. Oh, don't do this. It's all these things. And it's like, man, if you believe it and it's inside of you, stay true. Just stay true. No matter if you go through the failure, the good times, the bad times, this is what I believe in. And that's hard for kids today to do that, man, because everyone's especially in your era, because you've grown up in technology and everyone is judged. Everyone is judged. They're judged for this. They're judged for that. They're judged for everything you do. And it's like, I just take it today, man, you've had to face some big challenges in your life to stand strong for what you wanted, you know? And that's what I want kids to understand, that even if you go through the failure, you grind, you get better. And it's like, I see my dream and I hold true to my dream. It's just like, when I came out of Australia, going to play pro baseball in America was like unheard of. It was just like starting. And people would be like, you know, how are you going to do that? It's not going to, you know, but you just had a dream, you know, and it started on hitting on a tee into a trampoline mat. But inside, I felt like a pro baseball player already. I felt like I was there. I knew it, you know, no matter what anyone else said, I knew what I was going to do. I always knew I was going to come to America and play baseball and do that and be out here. And it was true, man. And I mean, I remember playing against the guys, I had posters on my wall, you know, like that's the power of the mind and a dream, man. But how many people tell you or put their insecurities off on you, you know, or they put them off on you because they didn't make their dreams come true and they can't see themselves doing it. So they tell you, you know, you should have done this or that, or, you know, there's so many people trying to drag you down, man. Every time, if you have a dream, you're going to run into all these people trying to drag you down and tell you it's wrong. That's reality. And you have to have the balls and the heart to step up and say, I don't give a shit what anyone else says. I'm going this way. I'm going to make it happen. But you have to accept that the haters and those people will be there and they will always be there.
That's why you just got, at the end of the day, you just got to look at yourself in the mirror, look at the guy in the mirror and say to yourself, was I the best version I can be? And that's not the end, because you can't care what anybody else says. You got to you support your teammates, you support everybody that you support, but then don't compare yourself to anybody else. You want to compare to yourself how good you can be. So that's why at the end of the day, you just got to think, no, I don't care what anybody else thinks. Just you look, you can say at the end of the day, you look that other guy in the mirror and say, was I the best possible person of myself that I could be today? And you just want to keep rising that and getting better each day that you do that.
So let me ask you this. We talk about like that right there. And I just thought about this when we're talking. When was one of the moments that you were humbled and you knew this truth? Because you don't get to this truth unless you get your ass kicked in a little way. So tell me one of the moments when you're like, oh man, I'm not the shit I think I am right now. I got to get a lot better.
Honestly,
like, when was the mind switch?
I got to say, right when I stepped on the campus at Southern Nevada. Like, yes, at Tennessee, I went through the failures and everything. But then there was this thing that clicked when I went to Southern Nevada that I threw my first bullpen. And it was to what my mechanics are now and to what people like in the big leagues and pro ball are using. I thought I was using my lower half the whole time. And it turns out there, I go there first bullpen, I'm not using any lower half at all. It's all arm, all front side. So that's when the thing, I kind of got humbled myself, like, oh man. So basically I got to learn all these mechanics and learn new things. And I'm a sophomore in college. Like, I thought I was.
But
like,
well, I wonder what made you accept that. What made you accept that? Because as a young kid, if someone told you that in high school, you probably would have said, I'm not going to listen. But what was the point where you finally said, you know what? I have to get better. Like, that's where I'm like, most kids won't make that call, definitely, dude. They will be like,
definitely in Tennessee. Then just everything, just the whole experience in Tennessee, just like, you know, being good, like for like a short period of time, three outings, I'd be good. Then an outing, I'd give up a 3-run bomb. Then wouldn't pitch for a little bit. Then would pitch again, have good two more outings. And it was just a roll up a roller coaster effect. And we don't want to, you can't, roller coaster effects never works ever in life, in anything. And I was roller coaster effect. So when I went there, because I knew I went, that's why I chose Southern Nevada, is to be better, good in development wise, be better developmentally, because I knew they had the coach to do that. And I heard a bunch of great things and already going through the recruiting process of one to actually know that what's going to help me in that. And that's why I went there, was to get better. And I accepted it because I had a roller coaster effect in Tennessee, ended up didn't working, ended up transferring. And that's the time that when I stepped into my first bullpen, he says, okay, like, you need to do that. And he just, like, you know, not like you need to do this. He just was teaching me. And I was just like, okay, I need to get this down. It's going to make me a better player. And that's kind of what I was, just not going roller coaster effect, you know, because I already went through my freshman year and it didn't work out. So I needed to change something. And even
that's freaking cool.
And even something from Southern Nevada going here, I'd go to bed. I wouldn't take care of my body at Southern Nevada. I got down the instincts of a baseball player. Not life, of a baseball player, what you do on the baseball field with mechanically, getting matured with terminology, getting like matured on the baseball field. But off the field, I'd go to bed midnight, you know, do my homework late at night instead of getting it done, putting stuff off to the side, not getting it done. But here, I with having the terminology down and being able to fix myself terminology when I hear something or look at film. Now, with the experiences I've had in Southern Nevada and here, is taking care of my body now. So now I'm combining the two, getting my homework done, getting stuff done when it needs to be done, taking care of my body, eating well, getting 8 hours of sleep each night is a goal, but I want to be in bed by 9 to 10:30 every night. That's my goal. And what good happens after midnight? What good happens after 11? What good even happens after 10 o'clock at night? Nothing. You need to get your rest. And that's what I've come here. And that's what I've been learning here. And because I needed a change, because I was always tired, always this. And that just made me think, how much better could I be if I figure this out, what I can do on the field, and putting what I do on the field, throwing, like how I want to say, like I want to hold 97 for 8 innings. I want to do that. I want to be holding 95 to 96 in the seventh inning, 97 in the seventh, eighth inning. I want to do that. And I want to do that. So why don't I do what I know on the field and throw 97 in anything? Like I want to throw 97 in 8 innings to everything I do in life. Get it done. Get this done. Get this done. Take care of your body. Get to sleep. Wake up at a, keep a schedule routine. Wake up, get breakfast in you. Because when you do 97 on the field, like you're doing 97 on the field and throwing like you want to throw 97 off the field, then it's just going to be that much better. And it's going to happen on the field because you're getting what you need to be done to put yourself in that
situation. I tell you what, man. I tell you what, dude. I've known you since you're a little kid. And I know Bessie would back this comment up. But just hearing you say that, I'm so proud of you, dude, because that's like, just hearing your whole story and like I said, I've known you for a long time, but just sitting there saying that, like, it's just cool to see the progression of it. And like, just knowing that, man, you're going to do some great things, dude. But like, we're proud of you, man, for like the man you've turned into, because we've got to see the whole process, man. And that's what I always tell Bessie. It's like, when you grow up in this town together, when life is this, you go through everything together, man. You go through the immature times. You go through when the people are hurting. You go through when good times, bad times. But in the end, you're all with each other. So it's just like, man, I'm so proud of you, dude. Like, it's a cool story, man. Like, and I know it's just beginning, but just to hear what you just said then, every young athlete needs to hear what you just said. If anyone has a dream to go play college baseball, they need to hear the last 5 minutes of this podcast, because that's the truth. And it's cool to hear someone in your position say that, man. And I'm super proud of you, dude. And I know Bessie is too, but
yeah,
you're going to do great things, bro. You're going to do great things.
Yeah. Just, I appreciate it. Oh yeah. Just my whole perspective of it. Cause I wanted to let you get like everything out. And, you know, me and Chase, we've been friends since forever. And I was there for the Midland runs. You know, we would always do the whole thing where I'd stay at your house host week because we didn't host. And so I got to kind of get that feel. And being there when you first got off the bus from coming to the World Series and stuff, like, just to see, like, even what we've been through with our friendship of – you know, going through my stuff of me not playing my senior year with you guys and you coming back from breaks. And I remember seeing the switch from Tennessee to Southern Nevada. Like, I would come in and tell Adam, like, something's different mechanic wise. Dude, it's just been so cool to see like you grow and become like the dude you are. And you know, you really do got a shot, man. And I think it's cool to be a part of that, like, in a way, like, see you and go through stuff. And I think, like, now that is the strongest our friendship's ever been. You know, we've definitely had our ups and downs roller coaster, but I think through everything, through the struggles and just keeping in touch, man, it's been so cool to see you, you know, grow and get better and be excited about baseball. I know I remember when COVID hit and Cape Cod got canceled, you had called me because we were throwing and you called me and you were just like super depressed because Cape Cod got canceled. And I kind of saw a switch there. That was when, right around when you started going and working out with Adam. like you took like a week where you were just didn't do anything, and then you called Adam, you and Jack went in. And I think that's an important part too, of like realizing you got to be all in for your dreams. You can't be 80% in, 20% out. You got to be all in and all committed. And to see you like go all in and be committed, because we all knew growing up, you know, Chase was the dude. I remember the Goddard game our freshman year when you threw 63 pitches in 7 innings, and everyone's like, dude, that's insane. Like, they were state champs. It's like where you're at now of throwing gas and being the dude at U of A and stuff. So it's cool, man. It's definitely really cool to see you accomplishing your dreams, man.
I still remember when it changed, because Jack Selinger came in here and it was Bubba and Chase. Yeah. And I pulled out the 1,200-pound tire and we had to do 10 flips a piece. And Bubba felt it first and he kind of didn't know what to do. And then Selinger was the one that started it, dude. Selinger just ripped it. And then Chase and Bubba, I remember right then, it was like it was straight attack. And he flipped that tire more powerful than all of us. Chase did. Like, he had the most power out of all of us. But it was like that decision right there, man, attack. And that 1,200-pound tire, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to get fun for him, because he's figured out the mentality it takes to be a winner at the really high level. Like, he's always been a winner, but when you compete at that really high level, you're going to have that different, like, savage mindset of, like, attack, and I'm coming. And that's what he found, man.
And then I got to also say, with things, like, you do, you at Southern Nevada, you know, you kind of do take things for granted when you do learn things and you think you do have everything down. I think another one of those things that kind of switched my mind is, yeah, you know, you have everything down in life. But then when my mother was sick, mother was very, very sick, and, you know, everything was going good for her, you know, life was going well. And then a flip of the switch, you know, get humbled in some way. And I think that it humbled everybody in the family, but seeing her going through that, almost dying, was a flip in my switch too, which made me want to, okay, you know, as soon as you have something down, you cannot stop. You got to keep learning to get better at that skill, or learn something else to get better at, to just improve yourself. And that was one of the big things. And then, like you said, Adam, with you want youth kids to see this, it's like, yeah, they're going to try it, but you need to go through the experience too. Say they do try it and they're like, okay, a week later, it's like, okay, it kind of goes downhill like the roller coaster effect, goes back up. You got to go through that experience. And I would tell them now, like, if you're just going through it hard and you're just experiencing failure, you just can't quit. You can't quit, and you got to keep going. You got to keep being the best version of yourself. So,
yeah.
Well, dude, I'm going to let you get to practice, man. I got two wild kids about to explode in here too. So, but I tell you what, man, this was everything I wanted to hear from you, man. And I've got some rhino waiting for you over Thanksgiving break, dude.
Oh yeah. How's the thing at your ranch looking out? Is it gonna be done?
It's gonna be good, man. It should be done by January. So it's gonna be cool, man. So we're just been doing stuff in here, and then just been doing the same stuff, man. And then it should be done by January. So we'll be moving out there.
Well, I'll definitely see you here in 2 weeks.
Cool, man. Well, I'm super proud of you, dude. Super proud of you, man. Thanks for getting with us today, dude. And it's awesome to talk with you, buddy.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
Yeah, dude.
All right. Thanks, dude. Thanks, Bessie.
Yep. See ya.